If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, professional wrestling fans, to another weekend edition of Busted Open Radio. I am your host on Saturdays, Ryan McKinnell, and joined across the way by the one and only world's strongest man, Mark Henry. Mark, we got a hell of a show lined up for the podcast listeners today here on Busted Open. First up, we got to get into what was the story of SmackDown last night in Manchester, England. The one and only Daniel Bryan becoming a victim of the Vaunted Fiend.
Across the pond, mate. It was such a good time. I'm looking forward to seeing more of what Daniel Bryan and the Fiend bring to it.
More Daniel Bryan and the Fiend, less Mark Henry trying to do a British accent. Also on the docket, we got New Day regaining the WWE Tag Team Championship for a seventh time. The question, Mark Henry, to you would be, is that going to be enough to satiate the needs of one Kofi Kingston after losing the title to Brock Lesnar?
Not even close. Kofi Kingston has got a long way to go to see him get back into good graces with the fans. So
we got all that, and we also have some thoughts on one Baron Corbin. And listen, Mark, we would be remiss if we don't end the show talking about one of the most exciting moments in pro wrestling history. Listen, AEW has had some pay-per-views, but tonight at Full Gear here on this Saturday, AEW ushers in a new era with their very first pay-per-view of the television era. Excitement is high. Expectations are high. What are you expecting to see, Mark Henry?
I'm expecting to see a lot of high-flying, overly excitement. This is the chance that guys and girls are going to get to show their wares. And this is going to be one that was going to be remembered for a long, long time. So it's best to get it in now.
Get it in now. That's right, listeners. This is Busted Open Radio on a weekend. We got plenty to get to, so let's get started. The matchup between The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, and Daniel Bryan is enticing. It is interesting. It does have serious legs. And I do believe it is a feud that we could see run all the way to WrestleMania. But what are going to be the incarnations of that feud, right? What are going to be the twists and turns? And Mark, I think the birth of this feud or the birth of this story is really going to center around the involvement potentially of Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. And Mark, here's the way I see it. I see Daniel Bryan matching up against The Fiend some point here in the very near future, and I see it going very badly for Daniel Bryan. Then I see Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura coming to the aid of Daniel Bryan and explaining to him, man, listen, this is a different monster. Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, he is not normal. I know you want to do this on your own. You can't do it on your own. You need the help of Shin and I, and I'm talking from the perspective of Sami Zayn, obviously. It just feels like that's what they're going to do. They're going to offer their services. They're going to try to link up with one of the best professional wrestlers in the world. And you know what, Mark, when I talk about the best professional wrestlers in the world, I don't know if there are three better. There's certainly not many better than Shinsuke Nakamura, Daniel Bryan, and Sami Zayn. So if this is what leads them into being a faction for a little bit, count me in, bud.
But why? I mean,
he's gonna need the help, Mark.
Yeah, but last night when The Fiend appeared, what did Sami Zayn do?
He ran, and it was outstanding.
He ran. Why do I need your help? You ran. You left me in a time of need. You should have showed me then.
He was startled, Mark. He was startled. Oh. It came out of nowhere. He wasn't ready for it.
Okay, Joanna. Dad, you didn't scare me. You just startled me.
Exactly.
Like, oh, so you learned a new word today, huh?
Exactly. Exactly, yeah, Mark Henry.
Play on words. Play it on words.
And tell me that's not going to happen, because you know that. You know that's going to be a conversation Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn have in the very near future. Like, dude, you're saying we need your help. Why do I need the help of someone who ran? And the answer is he was startled, Mark Henry.
I was startled.
It came out of nowhere. Yeah, Bray Wyatt's a scary guy.
You didn't hear Shinsuke call me? Shinsuke called me, and I just ran. I wanted to go see what was going on.
I mean, exactly.
He gonna take off running, man. I just started laughing last night.
It was great. Now there's another, and that's another element of this that we could see, you know, birth is the comedic element, because this is gonna be a very serious feud, right? There's gonna be a lot of blood and guts. There's gonna be a lot of danger. There's gonna be a lot of high impact. I actually think Sami Zayn can add some levity, man. We talk about this all the time. We saw it again last night on SmackDown. This is something I never, ever, for a million years would have predicted when El Generico / Sami Zayn came over to this company, that they were going to be able to turn him into some of the best mic work that we've seen the past few years, but the comedic elements of this guy. And again, we saw it last night, him dipping out like, you know, like the Roadrunner or Bugs Bunny, like poof, there's just like a cloud of smoke and he's gone. I mean, this is like a really enjoyable kind of, I guess, not a reinvention, but an extension of the Sami Zayn that we know and love.
You know what? I'm looking at it like this.
Okay.
Sami Zayn was in a mask. How good must you be to be in a mask and get over like that? And then you take the mask off and you're even better.
Yeah. It's nuts.
It's absolutely crazy and unheard of. A lot of the reason that they put people in masks is because they don't have personality, that they don't have that extra thing. And right. He's got it in spades. And Sami is one of those guys, and I mentioned this probably about 6 months ago when he really started to have those promos where he went to the ring and he pointed out the problems he had with the fans.
Yes.
And their jaded idea of what they think should be happening in the ring. And he basically said, you are the reason that wrestling sucks today. He's like, he just attacked them. He's like, you fickle. One week you want something, the next week you want another, and we try to accommodate, and what do? You piss on it. So I just won't take your advice anymore. I'll do what I want to do. And you'll like it because you're a sheep and you're going to do, and he just goes off on people.
Yep.
That is something that I would have loved to seen him be able to do with Daniel Bryan as an individual. But to be involved in a saga where you can't go out with Bray Wyatt every night. So he's going to need Shinsuke and Sami to help go back and forth and be an in-between. The Fiend can always interrupt.
Yeah.
You know, so they're giving this layers and options, and I think that is really, really smart on the WWE's part for how much disdain and vile commentary that I hear people focusing toward the WWE. This is refreshing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up an interesting point on Sami Zayn, the ability for him to get over with never saying a word. Being a masked wrestler, obviously, through his time in all those various promotions, he never spoke. His in-ring work spoke for itself. He told stories in the ring better than just about anybody without speaking, right? And now, as you mentioned, to do what he did, mask off, cutting some of the best promos today. Mark, I'm trying to think back through the history of pro wrestling. Now, my history only extends probably to the early 80s, right? It gets a little more fuzzy for me, but I'm really trying to think, like, can you think of a masked wrestler that has had that transition and has been as successful when you take the mask off as he was when the mask was on? That versatility that Sami Zayn has shown in the last 10 years, I mean, you know this better than I do, but it just feels really, really, really special.
No, I can't. The only person that I could think of never took the mask off. And, I mean, well, he got it pulled off one time, but, you know, they covered his head with a towel and you couldn't see him. But that was Mr. Wrestling number 2.
Okay.
And Mr. Wrestling number 2, with a mask on, could out-wrestle most people that ever got in the ring. So he was like Sami Zayn with the mask on. But when you take the mask off, that they never took his mask off. He you know, I mean, I can't think of, we have to get one of these, super fans to call in or call Dave LaGreca and ask him,
could we count Owen? I mean, Blue Blazer into,
no,
I mean,
he was,
he
didn't start with a mask on and wrestle a career with a mask on.
Right.
He did it in like a little stint.
Yeah.
And everybody knew that it was him.
Right.
Like, come on, it's Owen Hart. He's like, I'm not Owen Hart. Making these fake voices and stuff. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I missed that.
Good times. I know, man. I was actually, what was it? You did that great Owen Hart panel, which was that was over the Double or Nothing weekend this summer. That was awesome. Yeah. I got to sit in on that. StarCast also going down this weekend up there in Baltimore. I know a lot of people are up there. A lot of people are excited. Good continuation. Doing it for the culture, Mark Henry, the culture.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
I'm mad. And this is the debut of a new segment on Saturdays. It's called I'm Mad.
That's
it. You call in and say, I want to talk about this because this is the topic that you're talking about. And you say something other than that, you're banned for a month. Don't call in because when you do, we're going to tell you, hey, won't you take a vacation and then quit the business? That's what we're going to do.
Look what you did, Jay in Toronto. Yeah, look what you
Jay
did,
Jay in Toronto.
Henry.
Dave, Mike, whatever your name is, don't you call in asking for a pat on the back because you foresaw somebody that was coming on the show. Whoop-dee-doo. We do it every week, 6 days a week. And you're not the principal on the show, buddy. I'm mad. Okay, Ryan, I'm sorry.
Look what Jay in Toronto did, man. I got to deal with you for the next 2 hours.
Yeah. No, I love you. You good. You safe.
Okay.
You safe.
That's good.
Safer than the arms of Abraham. You safe.
That's good to hear. Glad to hear it. Like my palms are dry now. They're not as sweaty. Jay, you did this to me. You set me up for the next 2 hours with this angry, angry man on the other side. Good thing he's in Minneapolis. And guns, I don't know, man. I don't know. I pray for you, man. May God be on your side, buddy. All right, so let's get into it.
Guns on the 14th when I come to New York.
Oh, baby.
That's terrifying.
I'm scared.
All right. Yeah, maybe take a day off, guns. Together. Maybe don't come in on the 14th. All right, so.
Take a day off and quit the business.
Right. poor guns. All right, so, Mark, let's get into it. New Day winning their 7th championship. The match itself against the Revival, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a really good match. So what'd you think? Big E going out there with Kofi Kingston, securing their 7th title, which I got to be honest, man. I think back to five years ago when this faction debuted and they had the Preacher gimmick. We didn't know what they were going to be, and they really found that hold. I really can't stress enough how unbelievable it is that 5 years later, not only have they not broken up, nothing has happened. I mean, they're as strong and as relevant and they're as entertaining as they were 5 years ago. A real testament to one of the better factions of all time and a faction who gets their 7th title last night.
Man, listen, they are pushing their way towards the Hall of Fame. Kofi, he's a lock. But Xavier Woods and Big E, like, this is a faction that is going to be Hall of Fame level. I mean, you look at all the accomplishments, and you look at the money that they draw, and having them on a card is impactful. And it just both. They're all three really smart and intelligent guys that push the envelope a little bit, but they always keep it moving in the plus. You don't see them taking many negatives. And I guess if you were going to say that there was a negative, Kofi Kingston losing the title to Brock Lesnar in 8 seconds or whatever it was and not getting a title defense could be a negative. But on the flip side of that, it's not like you can't always go back.
Right. And I think I'm glad you hit on that because I think there's a lot of, and I'm sure we'll have callers on this, and feel free to chime in with your feelings because, you know, you look around the social media landscape and, you know, it's a thought and it's a storyline that people are talking about, and that is the fact that, hey, just a couple weeks ago on the debut of, you know, SmackDown on Fox, as you mentioned, Mark, you know, Kofi goes out and he loses the belt in 8 minutes. Now, here's the issue, right? There was the fist crunching moment, right? That was a couple weeks ago where we talked about it looked like Kofi was showing frustration. But by and large, Mark, we haven't got or we, I should say, we haven't gotten a lot of information from Kofi Kingston, right, in terms of his feelings about the loss to Brock Lesnar. There hasn't been many mentions about his emotions or his anger about losing the title to Brock Lesnar. And Mark, there hasn't been a lot of word on when he wants his revenge. And Mark, I think from a narrative standpoint, from a cohesion standpoint, yes, you can always go back to it, right? But you know this as well as anyone. Don't you on some level want to keep it fresh in people's minds? And also, Mark, I'll say this. When in fight sports, whether it be boxing or wrestling or mixed martial arts, do you have a champion who loses and then that champion doesn't mention about revenge or wanting to immediately rematch for the championship that he just lost? It just feels like WWE is trying to make that big fight feel happen. They're trying to bring in more of that combat sports element with the likes of Ronda Rousey, Cain Velasquez, Tyson Fury, right? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me that Kofi Kingston wouldn't be on a warpath to get his title back.
You know what? I thought that from the beginning, too.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get being overzealous and angry does not win the war. Going straight on into the meat grinder, it's not going to win. What's going to win is timing. And maybe Kofi thinks, you know what? Brock is a monster, and I want to get my revenge, but maybe I should wait for him to have a weakness, something that I can attack.
Mm.
And you got to think about it strategy-wise. He's outnumbered in every way. Brock has got more experience with the title. Brock is a bigger guy, a stronger guy. He's more accomplished in fighting. Like, what advantage does Kofi have? The same advantage that every other fighter that is against the grinder has. Outsmart them.
Yeah.
And I think that is what the storyline is going to be. I had to pick my spot, and I waited. And you can go back, and you can see that I was frustrated, but I held it in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you know, they're movie guys like I am. They look for the Easter eggs. And you have to go back, and we mentioned that Kofi was wringing his hands like,
yep.
Come on, guys. Like, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about this. And he changed the subject, but he was wringing his hands like it was frustrating.
So do you think we could see a breaking point for Kofi Kingston some point in the future?
Exactly. I think that at some point they say, Kofi, man, you got to put a smile on your face. Why are you looking down? It's like, you know what, man, I just can't do this no more. Do what? Walk around here smiling like I didn't get my ass kicked and get my title taken. That's my title.
Right.
Kofi, where did all this come from?
And I've been quiet for so – yeah.
Now you got a story.
Yeah.
And they can pull that card whenever somebody gets hurt. Like, you can always go back to having something that's exciting and powerful and impactful in the business. And that's you know, I've always thought the way that Dwayne thought. I've always thought the way Pat Patterson thought because I come from that learning tree. Like, you do what makes sense when it's time for it to, not when people are always clamoring for it.
So when you look at Kofi Kingston, Mark, you look at, you know, this championship reign. I mean, on some level, I would imagine that he's going to have to acknowledge his frustrations, right? But you
when?
Know.
When is that going to be?
Right. When's that going to be?
You know,
I imagined it would have already happened, but not yet.
You know, I'm about to start in Austin soon teaching a class called the What, the When, and How of Wrestling. And it's easy to learn the how. You can go to a wrestling school all over the world and learn how. But the important things that Rip Rogers and Tom Pritchard have taught me is when is important and where. Do you do it? You do it when it benefits you and when you're going to get something out of it and it's going to pay off and everybody in the crowd are going to go, oh, and you won. And that has to be taught. That's not something that you just, oh, I had an epiphany. It came to me in the night. No, it don't work like that. Like, you have to train and train, and then the understanding starts to come as you train. And Kofi knows that better than anybody. He's been around. I remember when Kofi first came to Louisville, and he started under the tutelage of Danny Davis and Jim Cornette and Rip Rogers. And when he came up, he leaned on people like me and Big Show that were already up and was able to give him direction. And Kofi is a very, very intelligent human being. He and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are good friends. When you the learning tree that he's under is unrivaled. The conversations that I have with him about wrestling are advanced. They're masterclass stuff. There's no run-of-the-mill average conversation. Kofi is brilliant. And Big E, not only is he, you know, all three of those guys are college graduates.
Right.
Xavier Woods, we can't even start talking about his education.
Dude's a doctor.
Dude's a doctor. He's a PhD. So, right? I mean, it's like you can't – can you imagine the car rides?
No.
You can't pull up some idle bullshit in a car with them guys. They're smart. So he's waiting for the right opportunity. Yeah. And when that presents itself, and I hope the WWE is listening and use it like that, because if they haven't had that idea, now you do. Use it. I don't charge for information.
No, and run
it's
that.
It's my responsibility.
Yeah, and don't let it go
to
years.
Give information,
right? Don't let it have years on it, right, Mark Henry? I don't want like a year and a half to go by. 2 years. I would like to see this feud reconnect at some point
in the next 3 to 4 months.
Yes, before WrestleMania season, because it is. We're talking about it. Like, it's still fresh in our minds. Don't let that not be fresh in our minds. Yes, you can call back to it. You can bring it back around. But play on the emotion. Build the frustration. Let the callers call in. Let the people chime in on Twitter, right? Let those frustrations build. Let people be like, well, how pissed is Kofi behind the scenes? Let what we talk about this all the time, right, Mark Henry? Let art imitate life.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's what we need as fans. We want to be in suspended belief. We want it to be real, but we want to have options to the realism and the reality. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be handcuffed to reality, because once you're into reality, you're like, oh, well, he should just go on and just beat him up and leave it, and that's that. But that's not the way wrestling is. It never has been. It never will be. There's a level, the entertainment value and the processing it over a long period of time. And that's the thing. Why do we have to have it right now? 3 months from now is fine.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you start getting 6-8 months, it's other stuff going to come up.
Right.
So, I mean, it's time is imperative, but it's not the end all be all.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
So what'd you think, man? The continuation of Baron Corbin, and what has been a great year for Baron Corbin, where he's really stepped up his game, not only inside the ring, but his mic work has been spectacular. It felt like another good notch in the belt last night for Baron Corbin, and he gets a really big win.
You know what's slowly happening?
What?
Baron Corbin is becoming a guy that elevates the people that get in the ring with him.
Crazy. You're right.
It's crazy. You would have never thought, like, down the road, you know, you have a match with Baron Corbin, people going to know your name.
Right.
It's true. Baron is becoming something else, man. Like, we always said that he had the tools. It's just that a year ago it was like this, oh, it's this go-away heat. There's really no such thing as go-away heat. I think it's having somebody being so good and so negative and so polarizing as a heel that people wasn't ready for him. And now enough time has gone by that he is slowly going to be like what Steve Austin was. Steve Austin was a heel. And then you started to love him. I think that at some point, and it's not going to be anytime soon. It's not going to be before or after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But down the road, people are going to start to love to hear Baron Corbin rather than hate to hear him. And when that happens, I'm going to be like, nah, nanny, boo, boo. I told you.
Well, you just evoked the name of Steve Austin, so he's got some serious, lofty expectations to live
up
to.
Well, I'm saying as an example of a babyface heel.
Right.
And a guy that was one of the most polarizing heels that we had in the business. And the next thing you know, everybody's cheering for him.
Yep. No, so. I think there's absolutely that element because of what we talked about, right? Even his most ardent detractors and critics and people like, he can't work, he's this, that, whatever the case may be. Everyone is being proven wrong, and there's a likability about that, that someone can go out and shove it in everyone's face and do it through hard work, determination, and just a quality product as a professional wrestler.
Yeah, and not only can he do it at a really, really unbelievable rate, but how many big guys do you see move like that?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a complete balance of a 6'6", 6'7", guy that can run through the ropes, run, slide out from underneath, go back in and be up on his feet before dudes come off the ropes.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let's pull back the curtain a little bit because we talk about this. We were just talking about Randy Orton re-signing with the WWE, right? One thing that we hear about Randy Orton a lot is that he's the cleanest, smoothest, one of the safest wrestlers to ever step inside the squared circle, right? I'm starting to hear similar things about Baron Corbin. Could you speak on that in terms of his ability to work and work safely with the people that he is in the ring with?
Yes. Baron is a guy that can throw a punch. And you know, we one thing that we looked at and we didn't really comment on is last night the punch that Tyson threw was pretty nice.
Yeah, it was clean.
It was very clean. And
yeah.
That's what Baron was a puncher. So he knows how to keep people safe and put them in harm's way at the same time. And I think that is what, you know, you get from Randy Orton where you go, wow, every night for 50 nights in a row if you want to.
Yeah.
And you can still keep going. Like, you know, there's been guys, and you know, unfortunately, that I've worked with that you can't work with them every night. That style of wrestling will kill you.
Right.
I mean, you're getting beat to death every night. It's the worst.
Do people
because you wake up and it's Groundhog Day, you know, shit, I gotta work with this. Gotta work with him again tonight. Shit, I'm not gonna have any teeth left.
Do guys like that still exist in the business, or
not
is it
many.
Being weeded out?
They get weeded out so fast.
Yeah,
because you know everybody's a commodity.
Yeah,
if you break down all the valuable wrestlers, then what do you have? Nothing.
Yeah.
So you know them guys got to go. You hurting the product.
All right, let's wrap up the conversation on SmackDown because we're coming in on hour three and we're going to hit AEW full gear hard. And we got our weekly winner on tap for the best show of the week. But we got Richard in Georgia wanting to finish up the conversation on SmackDown and one Daniel Bryan.
Georgia.
Richard, what's up, man? Welcome in here on this Saturday, Busted Open.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Henry, thank you for keeping the history of wrestling alive. I go
thank
back
you,
to Argentina, Apollo, and the great Malenko. I have a twist on Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. Nobody's been better than Daniel Bryan as being a heel and a babyface. What if we take Bray Wyatt wrestling Daniel, I mean, Bray, yeah, Wyatt wrestling Daniel Bryan and have Bray's brother come out from under the ring as The Fiend and pull Daniel Bryan into hell?
Oh, you mean like,
kind of how The Fiend comes up through the ring and tried to drag Seth Rollins off?
Right.
What if Bo Dallas puts on the mask and pretends to be The Fiend and does the same thing to Daniel Bryan with Bray Wyatt as the wrestler? Kind of like the split personality, but both of them being there at the same time. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. It's Richard in Georgia. Mark, I don't necessarily
I think
hate
we should stay
idea.
Away from that.
Yeah. It would be hard to get to that, right?
Yeah, it would be hard to get to that. And then you're adding
right.
other people in the stuff that don't concern them.
Right.
Like, where do you go from there?
What would be the story that you're telling, right? It would have to be that it's a spirit or something that possesses the brothers, and then it gets very convoluted, right? I think you have something special with Bray Wyatt and the Fiend if you do it right. You do, Mark, I think you'll agree with this. You're walking a very fine line between comic book and hokey and real and dangerous and
there
scary.
You go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be and very you, hokey. That's the word.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go mixing that, you end up ruining something that could be real special. But listen, we say this a lot with other things that I've been in conversations you have. There's no such thing as a bad idea. That goes for professional wrestling. Mark, you sat in on creative meetings, right? I'm sure some pretty wild ideas get thrown around.
Man, some doozies. There have been some doozies come through.
I'm sure someone suggested Bo Dallas dressing up as the Fiend and pulling him down into hell. So don't feel bad, Richard, in Georgia. That was probably a common theme.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
All right, man, you heard the audio. That was you talking about this unbelievable promo that we saw on Wednesday night, courtesy of one Cody Rhodes. I mean, the stuff that you hit on, I think, was extremely apt. You know, you talk about the history with Dusty. You talk about the emotion that he was coming from, why he was saying what he was saying. Mark, all of that is very true. It stood out. It was undeniable. But what really struck with me was, we talk about this all the time, not just in professional wrestling, but in life, timing is everything. When you think about Cody Rhodes and the 14 years it took for him to get to that moment, the way that he had, because this is what separates, in my opinion, Mark, the best promo work between some just really good promo work. And that is the artists, the masters of the craft, who in Jericho is a goddamn, he is a
savant.
Masterclass. Yes, masterclass in what I'm about to talk about. And that is the ability to read a room, the ability to read a crowd, the ability to know when to pause, to let that crowd simmer, to get the reaction and play on the emotion that you're looking for, all while knowing that you're about to cut this promo and you're going to say this stuff about your past and you're going to, let all this emotion free, but you have to, and this is something that I battle with every Saturday, right? You have to know when to control that emotion and that passion and that excitement and to deliver it in the most effective way. Mark, that was one of the most remarkable promos, and I'm talking the complete package that I have ever seen in my entire life.
Well, you look at the first 20 seconds he started talking, the crowd started, "You deserve it," and he stopped.
Yep.
You let him get it out, because when I start talking, I want you to focus on what I'm saying.
Right.
And that was something that set the tempo. But then right after that, and he went into basically telling Jericho, "Who are you to say that I'm one way or the other when you're the same thing? You grew up with hockey royalty. We had the same silver spoon." And he's pulling you in and pulling you in. He got emotional when he mentioned his mother and his sister and his wife. All important factors to him. He brought the world into his world.
Well, you pull it in with logic and truth, right? That's
right.
How you do it. You pull from reality. So all these people know and believe what you're saying. And now another point, because you brought up a great point when you talk about how he went with the logic and the reason when he went back at Jericho. Very real. Very, like, dude, you're rich, I'm rich, we both came from affluent backgrounds, like, what you're saying makes no sense. But what I'm saying right now makes sense. Listen to me, Cody Rhodes, right? And we're kind of talking about this in the last hour, when art imitates life. My favorite part of that promo, because, Mark, you're a little bit older, you're keen in on 50, I'm in my mid-30s, right? There is a very palpable a very real feeling about people from my generation and a little bit younger. I am technically a millennial. I was born in 83. I think millennials are 81 on, right? This entitlement, this you're all know-it-alls. You're entitled to this. You want everything. When in reality, I work three jobs, Mark. I don't need to get into paychecks. We don't need to talk about money, right? But, you know, I wouldn't be working three jobs if I didn't have to be working three jobs. I have a college degree. It took me 8 years to get my first full-time job, and I am not in the minority with that. When I look across the landscape and my friends, there's a lot of disenfranchisement. There's a lot of people that feel a similar way. For Cody Rhodes to bring the millennial factor into this conversation, for Cody Rhodes to speak about a generation, for Cody Rhodes to have that art imitate life and to link himself to the emotions of a generation and to cut that promo in the way that he did, in my opinion, Mark, right? That made me care about Cody Rhodes in a way that I hadn't before, and that is when pro wrestling is at its best, when art imitates life and you feel invested in a character. Mark, that was a master class from Cody, and I loved his inclusion of the generational talk and swinging it back around into millennials because, Mark, and I'm sure listeners out there, you felt the same way, that hit on an entirely different level for a lot of us.
It did. And two points in there that struck a chord with me. And that's when he said, this business, you need this business more than it needs you. And you surround yourself with the youth, with the millennials, in which you claim to hate the most. That is saying a whole lot in just a couple of sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho is talking about how the youth, the mindless, aimless youth, but here he is surrounding himself with them, feeding off of them like a vampire. And then he said, you need it more than they need you. At some point, the business is going to be without Jericho. And they're creating the framework of what the future is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to remind Jericho of that. But more than Jericho reminding Jericho, you know who he was talking to? He was talking to the inner circle. He was talking to those young people that surround him.
Planting that seed.
He's going to turn on y'all.
Yep.
You're going to be all by yourself. Then what? So I think eventually you see Jericho losing team, losing one guy leaves, then another guy leaves, and finally he's standing there by himself. Hey guys, where you going? Come on, man. You know I didn't mean that. Cody is full of crap. He's trying to divide us. Cody is brilliant. There's so much stuff that that we didn't look into, and I say we because I'm a part of the fan, I'm a part of the nation.
Sure.
But I can see things that other people can't see, and I want to share. I want you to know where this is going so you can be as excited as I am.
Well, Mark, you know, going back, because we talk about the emotion, we talk about linking these characters to us and making us feel a certain way. I think that millennial, we saw it this week, right? People were out there. There were articles, like a lot of social media conversation, likening the term boomer, right? Baby boomer, boomer this to the N-word. I mean, calling it a slur. I mean, there's crazy noise surrounding this generational battle between millennials and baby boomers, right? AEW, and this is something that Daniel Bryan actually touched on when he was doing the Fickle stuff and talking about the fan bases and Vince McMahon being a boomer and him being a millennial. I think this is a palpable, real feeling across the nation that professional wrestling, and specifically in context of what we're talking about, AEW would have to be fools to not capitalize on.
You know what? And I doubt that they would pass up on something this polarizing.
Right. It's clearly resonating.
Yeah. It's everybody around the world is feeling it. I mean, we all know that. Eventually the fan base, we're going to go away from us old guys. Some of us decide to leave on our own terms. And then there's some guys that's going, they're going to have to run them out. They're going to stand around. And did you see how they talked about the future of the business going on without this older generation? There was a deal on social media, on YouTube, where the guys were talking about the WWE was going to go against having a lot of the older talent around and right. using the guys that they have now. I don't have a problem with that, but who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach them? Wrestling historically was older men in the business that knew all the tricks and passing it on to the guys that were going to be the ones that were going to lead into the next millennium.
Sure.
That's never going to stop.
No, it can't. The business is too intricate.
So you have to go into the office. You yeah. have to go into the training room. And a lot of it is what I'm going to be teaching in Austin is going to be psychology. What, when, and how, lastly. Because a lot of them are learning how. But the what and the when, bro, it's you can't do this business with being a muscle head. You have to have an understanding of psychology. And I've said it before, it's not just good versus evil and fast versus slow, big versus small. It's about feeling. We talk about feeling all the time. I'm going to teach how to make you feel that I hate you, that I want you to crawl into a hole and never come out. I want you to feel like, come on, man. If you just hold my, just grab my hand, I'm going to take you to the promised land. I want you to smile and laugh. Like, man, you're going to let this little guy beat you? Come on, man. You can beat him. Encourage. It's a lot of factors that go into what makes people feel around the ring. And that is what the old guy's purpose is to teach that. And I hope that we can get that done sooner than later. Because eventually Jericho is not going to be able to be in the ring no more. That Randy Orton is not going to be able to be out there all the time. And I know that sounds, you know, crazy, you know, because you look at these guys and you think that, well, they're young guys. They'll never, you know, iron doesn't work out. Jericho, is Jericho 50?
I think he is, yeah. I think he's like, I don't know his exact age, but I think he has hit 50, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, I think he has. But no, I mean, the end is definitely getting closer for him. Yeah, no, he's 49. Damn. Oh, no, hold on. No way. Hold on. Today is Chris Jericho's birthday.
Get out of town.
No, today is Chris Jericho's birthday. He turned 49 today. His birthday is November 9th, 1970.
Well, happy birthday.
For the Le Champion, right? I'm like, wait. I'm like doing my math. I was like, wait, is today November 9th? Yeah, so happy birthday, Chris Jericho. You got one more year until you hit 50, old man.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.